everybody. Welcome back to JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk. On this podcast, we talk about things we're passionate about. We're passionate about Jesus, the Holy Scriptures, worshiping God. We're also passionate about good whiskey. So we have a couple of pours while we talk about Jesus. I'm JB. I'm a pastor at a Reformed Church in Ohio, the great state of Ohio. And with me is my co-host, Fancy Rob.
Yeah, so I recently moved from the moderately okay state of Ohio. So like JB said, I am Fancy Rob, and I'm here to tell you how you can find out more about us. So if this is your first episode watching, there's 50-some-odd more. Go watch them. Mm-hmm. And you can do that. jbbibleandbourbon.com/social is going to have all of our social media, all the ways that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, all of our audio podcatchers, as well as YouTube and Rumble channels. Definitely go check that out. Also on jbbibleandbourbon.com/social has the link to our Patreon, how you can come alongside, support what we're doing, the mission, the vision of what we look to do, which is have fantastic Jesus conversations around great whiskey and just sit back and have a honest conversation with people. So jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. There are multiple tiers at our apostle and disciple level. You get to come on and be on an episode with us. We also do have year-end swag and monthly time with JB and I, which is priceless. jbbibleandbourbon.com/social.
All right. And today we got a very special guest with us today. Good friend. Long time. I've known you since...
He's really hedging 2018.
Many times, long time, I think is what. Yeah. I mean, take that how you want to.
But with us today is Matt, a.k.a. The Grease from the podcast. Matt, go ahead, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
What's up, everybody? Yeah, I started with my co-host and partner Will on a whiskey podcast about 8 years ago. And we've seen all kinds of rivers and valleys and mountaintops and fun times and, you know, rough times. And, but man, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of community surrounded by whiskey and not just necessarily like religious sects or anything like that, but there's like, there's this commonality amongst that community and group of people that just come together to not talk politics, to not talk religion, to not do that stuff. And then there's times and appropriate times that they do talk about that stuff. And so it's very reminiscent of the church in a way, except they're together kind of in search or longing for community, not necessarily God.
But I like being in whiskey communities because you can drink while you're talking about Jesus. To me, that's great. But, I started listening to you guys a long time ago, about the time you guys did the Pod Cruise. Actually, it was when I started.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Because I remember, that's when I was listening. I wasn't supporting as a Patreon or anything, but I remember looking for whiskey podcasts. I listened to a couple and some of them just sounded pretentious. You know, some of them, like there was one I listened to I didn't like the laugh of somebody on the show. They just laughed really shrill and I couldn't find a podcast that I liked. And I landed on your guys's and it was just like, okay, these are just two dudes talking about whiskey, man. Yeah. And I was in for it, man. And so I've been listening to y'all for a long time. So we are in the holiday season. And so I want to ask you guys a question. What's your favorite Christmas movie all time? All-time favorite Christmas movie. You have to watch it every year.
So the biggest family Christmas movie was, oh my gosh, and now I'm blanking on it. The old movie with the guy during the Depression, and then he like goes to a different life. George, what's his name?
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it in years, but when I think about that movie, I think about my family and I think about Christmas.
Okay.
Now.
No. All right.
I've got to pick one like for me.
Yeah. Like that, your favorite Christmas movie.
There is this old Christmas call or old movie called The Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. With Tim Allen?
No, I don't know. One of those. It was an old movie. It had the mad guy from Footloose in it, the pastor. You know who I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I don't know this movie, though.
Yeah, he was in it, and he was just like this toy manufacturer guy or whatever. Anyway, they created candy canes that made you fly.
Oh, yes. Okay, I know exactly which one you're talking about now.
And then the Santa guy at the end does the super-duper looper.
Yes.
And freaking saves that.
Yes.
Elf that's flying out of the sky because his dadgum other flying machine blew up because the candy canes were too potent.
Yep.
heck of a movie.
I'm heck of a movie.
Really Five sad that I've missed this. And yeah, that is Santa Claus the movie. Whereas the Santa Claus is the Tim Allen one. So this is now on my list of things to watch this year.
Oh, dude,
so
you got to watch that one. That's a classic.
It's basically like the Ewoks of Star Wars. Like it's got that vibe. Like it's just old. It's feel good. Mm-hmm. Like the villain is just kind of like snarky. You're not like, oh my gosh, the world's gonna end, you know, until candy canes start blowing up. Then it's like, I'm pretty sure the apocalypse is here,
most likely.
What about you, Rob?
So I do, honestly, the one that I love that I don't get to watch much is when Grease brought up A Wonderful Life, because my family hates it. I don't often get to watch it, but I do try to watch it every year.
I hated it as a kid, buddy.
Yeah,
because we had to watch it every year. And it's long. Yeah. It's black and white.
Yeah.
Oh.
Kidding me,
George Bailey. The savings and loan. Come on. You sound just like Potter.
Can I speak for real on this?
Yeah.
I have never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
You should. It's really good. No. It'll hit you right here.
Yeah,
it's a great movie. Especially when you look at the time that this movie came out. Real good.
Mm-hmm. I have a copy of it. I've had a copy of it for probably 10 years.
So it's unopened is what you're saying.
Who in 2023 says, I've got a copy of that?
JB does.
I've got a DVD.
I
printed the DVD, man. I like to hold something, man.
I got a VHS copy. It's on Betamax.
I say Betamax is the, you know, it's a higher quality version. So that's what you got to go with.
It is pretty good, beta.
So what's yours, JB?
Mine's The Ref. Have you all ever seen The Ref?
I have.
I feel like I have.
It's Dennis Leary. Mm-hmm. He Fantastic. Robs a house,
mm-hmm.
takes a husband and wife hostage.
I have not seen that.
Makes them take him back to their house, mm-hmm. and he's holding them hostage, but end up helping them with their marital problems, and everything's all wonderful at the end of the movie.
It's a very funny movie. A
lot of cussing. So
yeah. It's a very funny movie.
I love Spacey as an actor, but not necessarily as a human.
Not anymore.
That seems reasonable. That's a reasonable.
It's a reasonable thing.
That's a good line. That's a good line.
But dude,
have,
he's had. I mean, he has made roles iconic. You know, which is just unfortunate.
Yeah. What happens when Santa Claus loses all of his money? That's when he's
an elf.
That's when he becomes Saint Nicholas.
Oh my gosh.
So
Rob, shut this down.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
He hasn't shut it down yet.
You see that little leave red phone button?
All right. So,
I'm just kidding, JB. So, JB knows I love him. That's why I'm going after him.
Yeah. And so we're going to go. Actually, we're going to do our first pour. I think we should drink something now after that joke, right?
That's always, he always times it after a joke because that's when we need it the most.
Oh, copy that. And do any of us know what this is?
I know what it is.
You know what it is. Does Rob know?
Rob knows what
it is. I do.
Ooh.
I know what it is because I had to open it today out of my stash.
This smells lovely. The color is good.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Did you hear that cork pop?
It's like a smoked apple. Like a...
This is actually one of my favorites.
It's getting richer as it's opening up.
And that color?
Oh, yeah. The color's stupid. This one's being weird with me.
Let's hear it. What do you got to say about it?
It smelled way older.
Yeah.
And it tastes way younger than I thought it would.
Okay. What are you getting on the palate, man?
Front of the palate's like a little brighter, like pearish fruit. Mid palate is kind of this like smokiness. And then in the back, like it's just this, instead of it being like an oak influence, it's more like a syrupy vanilla. It lingers, man. It's hanging in there.
Yeah, it's got quite the long finish on it. Do you want to know what it is?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm from Ohio.
Yeah.
So this is Whiskey War Double.
We've had this. Okay. So how old is this?
It's usually between 4 and he blends, and then he.
So the double threw me off on the nose.
Yeah,
because I was like, man, there's a lot of oak on this.
A lot of oak on the nose.
But then when I tasted it, I'm like, this is young. This isn't.
Yeah, how it's old younger. Is I thought it was 4 to 6 years, maybe.
But dude, that's a great. I mean, that's a good pour. We've actually. I think you gave us the set that had three of them in it, and then like some maybe a glass or something in it or something. But
yeah, it had the set I gave you had double oaked, it had midnight cask barrel proof, and that had the standard barrel proof.
That sounds right. That sounds right. Did when we did that the first time, did we say this was?
I don't remember.
Good. Here's the deal. It's There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's a local place. We love it. The guy who is the blender, and he's distilling now too. Good Christian man. Used to work for the church, and he used to be in marketing, and just decided to dive into the whiskey business. So,
and they have some really good expressions, some really interesting stuff out there, which is nice.
Yeah,
yeah, that's super good.
All right, so we are in our Advent series, and what we're doing during the series is we're giving our listeners the gift they never asked for, a new episode every week instead of our normal rhythm of every other week. We give you a new episode every week. You didn't ask for it, but we gave it to you anyways. And so in this Advent series, we've been talking, the theme is called Stocking Stuffers. And it's we're talking about stuffing certain positive things into our life during this holiday season. And so, you know, things like peace, worship, and today we're talking about stuffing more joy into our lives. And I know for me, I've had a rough year. I need a bit more joy this holiday season. The holiday season is difficult for me this year, but we're going to talk about how we can have joy no matter the circumstance. And so as we talk and we drink as brothers in Christ, let's find joy together, right? And so before we begin, Rob, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Father, we thank you for Matt joining us graciously and having JB into the nook. We thank you so much for just a great time together, a great conversation to share some pores. And we just thank you for the reminder that sometimes that just like the message series states, we have to be very intentional with seeking these things sometimes, because sometimes our natural rhythm isn't the joy, isn't the worship, isn't these things that we need to be seeking, because we get busy or whatever in life is throwing at us, Father. And we just thank you for that reminder to intentionally and consistently seek you in all of those things. We pray for everyone who's listening, Father. If there's anything that they're struggling with, we pray that you just begin to break down walls and open up their hearts. And we pray for this message and this time together. And we give this over to you, and we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And so we are going to start off in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 2, verses 1 through 2.
And I think that's me. And I'm having to kind of cheat because my Bible app was like, you need to update this. Like, and then I got to update it. It's like the link doesn't work.
You know what that's telling you? It's like, hey, dude. Read your Bible more.
I know that's exactly what
God is like.
Exactly,
dude,
what's happening.
Come on. I mean, in fairness, you threw a different version at him, so we had.
I did.
Oh, the NLT, man. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. After that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him."
Thank you, my brother. And so we ask ourselves during this holiday season, I know as I've experienced a rough year, you know, a lot of people are having difficulties. So how do you stuff more joy into your life when life is difficult, when life is dark and dreary? How do we experience authentic joy this Christmas season? And the first point in this message is seek joy in the right place, right? Because I think oftentimes we look for joy in wrong places. We look for it in our career, right? And how quickly can we lose our career? I've had that happen where, you know, I've lost my job, or we've tried to find joy in our possessions, in a new car, but soon that car is going to break down. It's not an eternal joy. It's just a possession that we have now. Or we try to find joy in money, or I try to find joy in whiskey some days, right? You know, I like to experience joy, but even that joy is so fleeting. And so what we find here in this this passage is the wise men, their search began not with the question of what will make me happy, right? What will bring me joy? They start their search with the question, where is the newborn king? So we have to look for joy in the right places.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he does this for a living, isn't it?
I don't know.
So when you were first talking,
and
I was thinking about the stocking thing.
Yeah.
It's like, what can we put in a stocking that brings us joy?
Right.
Is that right? Man, I've been through so much in the past year. A lot of emptiness, a lot of sorrow, a lot of you know, hurt, but a lot of growth. I think the growth outweighed everything else, which fortunately that's awesome. honestly, man, for Christmas season, like, I want to challenge people that breath. Breath can be the best thing that you fill your stocking with to give you joy. I think if you take things out, take things out that you think are giving you joy, success, I have 5 streams of income. I have, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, I was involved in many things, but I was doing them well. And then it kind of kept growing. And I got to the point where I couldn't do any of them well. And so while I found joy in all of those things, in the success of those things, and like, oh man, this is going great. This is going great. Boom, boom. Like everything left and right was coming at me like, this is great. And so I kept running to it, right?
Yep.
Keep running to it. And, you know, in this time last year or 2 years ago, I would have said, dude, fill this thing up. Like, let's fill it up with community. Let's fill it up with more friendships. Let's fill it up with serving. Let's fill it up with, you know, I'm going to change the world with my hobby. Let's fill it, you know, like all this other stuff. But honestly, like removing a lot of things can fill your stocking beyond other things that you bring into that. Now, I'm taking out, obviously, Christ, your family, your faith.
Yeah.
You know, that's obviously a baseline. But yeah, man, when we think about joy, I rarely think about contentment. I don't think about contentment when I think of joy. I think of joy as me having to go get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not real joy.
Right.
Joy is sitting, listening, experiencing, and growing. Like, if you have a great experience and you're growing and you are positive, it's like, that's the best joy you can have. Contentment. And it's hard to do today.
It is.
When everything comes at you so fast, so quick, how can I get this done quickly? You know, the Bible just needs to basically be a bunch of short videos.
I think the Bible Project does Project that, actually. That. Yeah.
Do they do shorts?
Little short videos.
Well, that's cute.
And they're even animated.
Are they vertical?
Vertical. What do you mean?
Like vertical, like in socials.
Yeah.
I don't know if
they're wide.
They're wide.
Yeah, see, I'm talking about like...
It has to be...
Get you an influencer, sign them up. You know, obviously, you know, bathe them in the blood, whatever you need to do. Get them signed up, and then they just make, you know, good content that actually relates to people.
Yeah.
That's the new church social media platform. I'm just kidding.
But you're also not, because it is a great mission field, right?
That's a great
It's not necessary. Well, yeah, I think everything's a mission field, I guess. But
yeah,
it's more so, it's like, if you could call somebody and invite them to church, you know, back in the day, like, why wouldn't you do what kept us from that? Now that you're behind like this wall of confidence on social media, it actually empowers you a little bit more to do so. However, we just love those cat videos too much.
Oh, dude,
we do.
You know what I'm saying? We can't do that
all night. It'll be like 9 o'clock. Next thing you know, it's 2 a.m. and there's this dadgum cat just, I don't know, doing backflips off a bed or something. That's me.
Yeah. To circle back, I have a lot of joy. I have a lot of joy. Friendships are restored. You know, my love for my wife, not only to, you know, consider myself lucky, in many regards, I actually got to grow and love her in a different way this past year that has actually just expanded our relationship, which has been really awesome. So, family's good. I'm good. You know, I have bipolar disorder. And so I, you know, with that comes a lot of ups and downs and all this other stuff. And so it's kind of an ever going wheel. However, right now I've found a landing spot and I'm doing really good. I do have a lot of joy, But I think that that joy, like I said, again, only occurs when I've kind of stripped the other false joys, you know, out of that stocking.
Yeah. And Grease, you're actually hitting on something that we talk about quite a lot, right? Which is we can easily convince ourselves that all of these things that we're doing are good things. And a lot of them are really good, great things. And a lot of them may be, you know, Christ focused, family focused, all of these things, but we're chasing them and we're allowing them to take away from those main things, like you said, and being able to pull away some of that and unstuff the stocking and stuff it with some breath and stuff it with some of that time and ability to pause. Yeah, I think is really important.
Yeah, and I think when you focus on Christ as the center of your source of joy, that's a joy that can't be taken away from you. Like everything else that you talked about, those are, you know, here today, gone tomorrow things, where Christ is eternal. And when we focus on something that's eternal to bring us joy, we have eternal joy. And so Jesus actually talks to that, and I'm have you read for us, Matt, if you'd read John chapter 16, verse 22.
So you have sorrow now. You like how it says sorrow?
Sorrow. It's like
you have sorrow now.
Sorrow.
God, leave it up to me, man, to like borderline sacrilege the scripture right now. I'm so sorry. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy.
Right. And so, you know, yes, we're going to experience sorrow while we're here on earth. We're going to have times where we don't have as much joy. But what we do have is we know that one day we will be with Christ in heaven. And that's going to be eternal joy. And so that's a joy that comes from looking in the right place, looking to Jesus for your joy. And now the question that most people have naturally is, how do I have that relationship with Jesus? How do I find him? How do I experience him? And so the wise men, they followed a star to get to Jesus, right? You know the narrative, and it took them all the way to Jerusalem, and they found where he was. And so we're going to pick up the story in Matthew chapter 2, and Rob, you're going to read that, verses 4 through 6.
Matthew 2, 4 through 6, he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said. "For this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judea, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel.'" And that, you know, that kind of lends us into point two. So finding Jesus in the light of Scripture, and, you know, staying in the Word to continue to seek him through that light of Scripture.
You know, the revelation of Jesus that we have is found through Scripture. If we're searching for Jesus, we're looking in Scripture, and we look to Scripture for joy. At least, you know, I've talked before about my father passed away this year. He had cancer and passed away from that. And there was a lot of pain for me in that. And I recall one day I was driving between my parents' house and my house, and I'm praying to God. I'm like, man, I need something, God. And Romans 8:38 popped in my head. "For what we suffer now compares nothing to the glory that we will receive, that is going to be revealed to us and through us." So that means that whatever we're facing here on earth, whatever pains, whatever trials, whatever sufferings, that compares nothing to the glory of God that we will see in heaven. And that brought to me joy. Now, again, I was still suffering at the time. I was still in pain. I was still so sorrowful. Sorrowful that my father had passed away. But I found joy.
Oh, really? Your father passed away?
me father? In it?
You have two fathers?
Governor? Yeah, I have a heavenly father.
Yes.
I have two fathers.
He was like, I was trying to lead you there.
Okay.
I softballed it, but it's fine.
I'm not smart. Okay, it's cool. Grease, if you would read for us John chapter 5, verse 39.
"You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me."
Yeah. So when we're searching for Jesus. These people were searching for the Messiah with Jesus talking here, and they couldn't see him. They couldn't see him in Scripture, but everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. So if we're searching for Jesus, if we're searching for joy, we find him in Scripture. And so another thing that brings us joy in life is good whiskey. So we're
going to pour two.
Pour two, buddy.
Pour two.
Oh, pour two.
Clean glass.
See, I do not have this one, do I, JB?
I don't think you do.
This one's dark, too. Yeah, what are y'all doing?
I don't know.
Is this a... Oh, this is definitely a double oak theme.
I'm sorry, yeah. It's finished.
Got it.
So before you go into that one, because that's right now, I remember, and I do love that one. I'm going with the three chord that we picked up at last Whiskey Weekend.
Oh, at Red Dog?
Red Dog. Yep.
The double oaked?
Yep.
I think I finished... No, I have like an ounce or two of that one left. We actually shared this one with Clint Sample, too.
We did. It's a surprising
one. I have smelled this before, boys.
I think you have smelled an expression of it.
There is a note in here that I know what I'm trying. My mind is going nuts. So it is finished.
It is finished.
Is this like legit finished, or is it?
It is legit finished. It is not double oaked per se. I'm per se-ing now. You can't just per se.
Is that a port? There's some big.
Do you have any water there, Matt? Drink a little, just a little tiny bit of water, because that's when the flavor hit me afterwards.
A lot of cinnamon on the back end. Is this Amberana?
Nope. Nope. This is going to,
Didn't hit on the front like Amberana, because Amberana will freaking light you up.
No, the cinnamon's on the back of this one. And I was actually surprised by this bottle, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say like sherry or something, but
it's all
what good. Is it?
So staying on Ohio, this is Watershed Nochino.
Yeah.
Finished.
Nochino.
Nochino is a walnut liqueur.
It's a walnut liqueur.
So it's finished in walnut liqueur barrels. 5 years aged and then.
Yeah. I like everything except for after it's gone. Then it's kind of got this sourness to it.
Yeah. That's
the whole experience is really good. It's just after everything clears out, like your body's just like, whoa.
Whoa, what happened?
There's some sour going on. It's like, you know, it's like a tearjerker, but it's backwards.
Yep. So Nochino is made from green walnuts. So they make the liqueur from green walnuts.
What's the proof?
You have it right there, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
123. Drinks like 110.
Yeah, it doesn't drink like 123.
This is batch number two.
Yeah, buddy.
Nice.
That is a limited release that they do every year. They do have Nochino available most of the time. The liqueur.
Okay.
And once a year they release the finished.
Is it related to maraschino?
It is not.
This is really nice in an old fashioned, just a little bit.
They also do. They call it Borchino, which is a mix of their bourbon and the Nochino. It's kind of like Boo Rye.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
So, well, I mean, the fact that I didn't know what, I didn't even know any of these words existed prior to this, and you just say Borchino, you could actually just go ahead and name that Borchino.
When you add the Nochino to it, it like turns to a cola color.
Yeah.
Now, I do like to make an old fashioned with the Nochino liqueur added to it.
It's really good.
It's really tasty.
I mean, a walnut in an old fashioned,
It's fantastic.
It's kind of like it's very syrupy.
Yeah,
like I really like it. It's just it's not the finish. The finish is fine. It's just like the aftermath.
Hey, there's a little.
It feels like my tongue went to war and it lost. but it
enjoyed the war while it was happening.
But it didn't know it until after the enemy was gone.
Like it went to war. It got wounded in battle, and then after the battle, it's like, oh, I'm bleeding. You know, is that it? Or it just feels super tired and beat up.
Yeah, no, like I'm just disheveled, and then like everybody's gone.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting here like this.
That's how I feel every morning. Just disheveled.
Oh, man.
Like I've been to war.
Can y'all shower without brushing your teeth first?
No, I'm an after.
Like, I'm a during.
I shower and then brush.
You brush your teeth after?
After the shower. Because what I do, so my routine is I get in the shower, you know, clean
this up. This is a tangent.
Yeah,
big right? time. Hashtag find your joy.
You brought it up. You want to know my bathing habits.
I do.
So it's shower. You know, you got to take care of all the, you know.
Yeah, you can't go without business. A shower.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, as big as I am, I sometimes love twice a day.
I love that he's telling the story like we're not aware of what happens in a shower. Right. So you get in the shower and you wash everything.
Dude, I'm on meds that make me sweat. And by the time I go from my shower to my closet, I'm having to wipe my pits already.
So Grease, what you just explained is being fat. That's just what I experience every day without medication.
Oh my gosh. Dude, I softballed that and didn't even know it.
So get down to the shower, get dressed, go into the bathroom, brush my teeth. That's the next part.
Spin brush or regular? Okay. Spin brush.
Yeah. I didn't know it had a name.
Yeah, I mean, they all spin brushes.
Okay. So, and then it's beard straightener.
Okay.
Beard balm.
Okay. And the whole routine. All right.
Yeah.
And then this is not a routine. This is called a ritual, Rob.
It's ritual.
A ritual. Yeah. A regimen.
When you have a glorious beard, you have to take care of it.
You do. Yes. Yeah.
But I like to brush my teeth first before I deal with the beard, because if I brush it afterwards, I get the taste of the beard balm in my mouth and it's gross.
Or you could brush your teeth, get whatever toothpaste is that you want all over your face,
right?
Then walk into the shower and be like, I'm good.
Hold on. Big question.
Then while you're in the shower, just throw some balm on.
Question.
Yeah. I throw oil on my
bird.
Face.
Earl in your bird.
A little.
So, okay, here. Shower question.
I thought you'd never ask.
We are devolving.
You got us on this topic. Dadgum. So, do you wash your legs or do you let the shower do the work?
If
like lower legs, like
shin. I mean, it depends on how hot and heavy the legs got.
Yeah, just in general.
Like, did I go to like a fair?
Like, no.
Or did I go to the mall? Did I go to work?
Your normal day.
My normal day. If I go to work, come home, eat dinner,
take a shower,
get the kids down.
Are you scrubbing down the shins and everything? Or are you just letting the
zero soap in the chance water? On a normal day? Zero chance.
All right. Cool.
Apparently,
all
right. I work too hard.
Yeah, you do.
I'm a shin scrubber. I don't know if that's a thing. Hashtag
shin scrubber. Now, I will say this: like, I use every part of my body has soap on it. Some capacity. Oh, yeah.
It's just soap everywhere.
Right? Here's the deal, dude. If you can pay for a car wash and they just drizzle it on there, dude, you ain't gotta scrub those legs.
Yeah, buddy. I'm for it.
Don't even get me on bidets, dude.
Oh, dude. The best thing for
Swerve
for your butt. Bidet life, man.
Dude, here's how I explain bidets to people. Take some poop and rub it onto your arm, okay? And just look at it on your arm for a second. It looks disgusting.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'll be right
now
back.
Now take dry toilet paper and wipe it like 10 times.
Yeah.
Just keep wiping.
Yeah, it's just not coming
clean. And at the end of the day, your arm's going to be brown in some capacity.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's why you light that thing up with a duvet.
Dude.
A duvet cover. A bidet.
I mean, if there's no, you know.
Because let me go ahead and tell you something. Other. Dude, you just wipe one of those paper towels. Wash it down. Now, you can have the wipes. That's fine.
Those wipes are a good secondary option. Bidet life, man.
Well, you gotta take the wipes with you on the road.
When you're traveling. Yeah. I have wipes back at the
home. Or at the office.
Yes.
You just gotta saunter inward. You got that casual, confident swag going on to the bathroom. Yeah. Nobody knows why, because typically when you go in there, like, you think you're about to die, but somehow you've got all this confidence.
Come on,
the reason is because in your back right pocket, bro, you rolled with wet wipes, and you're like, today's not going to be a bad day, guys.
You don't get itchy. Yeah, you don't get that.
I mean, office toilet paper is horrible.
I mean,
ours isn't terrible. However, it's just. I like home base too, man.
You know what I like?
Because the bidet.
You know what I really like the bidet? Is after eating jalapenos.
Oh my god. Okay.
Anyways, so
he did it again, Rob.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah. So
I'm just going to shoot this.
Dude, do it.
Because I don't think it's a very unique flavor. Mm-hmm. It's very enjoyable. Yes. I just kind of want whatever that is on the back end just to only happen one more time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I get it.
I don't want it like six more times.
I get it.
It's unique and enjoyable.
And I will say, typically, Watershed is not my jam, but I do like that. Anyway, so. Yeah,
they're hit or miss. It's a heavy, they're almost Stormtrooper level.
All right, so now that we're going to get back on topic, and we do that usually by getting back into scripture. We find Jesus through scripture. So Grease, you're back up. Yeah. Matthew chapter 2 verses 9 through 11.
Matthew chapter 2 verses 9 through 11 in the New Living Translation. The star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the places where the child was. The place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave treasure chests.
I thought you said treasure cheese.
I said treasure cheats.
They brought their charcuterie boards.
Golly, and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yeah, sorry, the text is hard to read.
Can we sidetrack and talk? I mean, we're talking about Christmas presents. I mean, treasure cheese sounds fantastic.
Yeah, so this year I have a whiskey advent calendar from a group I'm in. My wife got a wine advent calendar, and we got a cheese advent calendar. And so I'm excited to dig into some treasure cheese.
Dude, 25 different cheeses?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I would...
Dude. I'm all about.
I mean, cheese. I don't know what we can say on this, but I would go to second base with all of those.
Oh yeah, dude!
like full cheese. On French kiss.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be savoring involved, brother. Yeah, I'm going to savor that cheese, and so. I'm going to say
I love cheese,
dude. Mm-hmm.
Did you take cheese out of the equation?
I have
cheese and bread, dude. You lost me.
I have a tub in my refrigerator. It's like a Tupperware tub. It's cheese and meats. So like salamis and
just whenever
prosciutto, and you know, I've got my I go in and I slice off some cheese and I get out some salami, and dude, I go to town.
Dude, I got a neighbor that brings me deer sausage all the time, and it is so stupid. Yeah, it is so stupid.
Stuff is so good.
It just melts, dude. That's crazy. Yeah.
See, you can find some joy in that, temporary joy, but you can definitely find some
Yeah, let's don't
joy.
Talk about food, man.
So we're going to go to point three.
That's not joy, that's worship.
We're going to go to point three.
Okay, sorry, message. I'm derailing this.
That's okay, we're here for it. We knew right. what we were getting into.
That's fair.
When we invited you onto the show, and so that's okay. We can derail all you want. You're the one that's on a schedule tonight. I'm not. I just have to go back to my hotel, work on a sermon, and maybe eat some pizza rolls or something.
And find a local cheesery.
Oh, where's a good place to get cheese around here?
Get cheese? Oh, Sprouts.
Sprouts? Okay.
Yeah, it's a grocery store.
I know what Sprouts is.
Off of your, off of the 96. Okay. Exit. Yeah, really right. close. One exit north of me.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. Well, I know what I might be having for dinner tonight. Some
cheese. Yeah, they got a lot of different cheeses there. Brands, too.
Good
a lot
charcuterie. Of different ones. Nice. Some prosciutto.
Yes.
All right. Maybe that's what I'm doing instead of pizza rolls. Yeah. But pizza rolls have cheese in
it's
them,
either
too,
a $7
right?
combo at Taco Bell or $40 in cheeses.
Exactly.
I've always told my wife is always, not always, but she's often complained about how much I spend on bourbon. You know, she's like, yeah. Why do you spend that much on bourbon? But she should really be looking at how much I spend on cheese and charcuterie.
Yeah.
She's looking at the wrong line item.
She is looking at the wrong line item. Absolutely.
Oh, that's funny.
And so now for the fourth time, I'm going to try to get into the third point of our message.
So then we were looking at,
which is, you know, as we're looking to stuff joy into our lives this Christmas season, despite all the circumstances, as we worship Jesus with everything that we've got. And sometimes you don't have a lot to worship with, but it's whatever you have to bring to him. You know, the wise men came, they had some very expensive gifts to bring to Jesus, to worship him, to bow down and give to him. But sometimes you don't have a whole lot to bring to Jesus in worship. You know, I've had definitely had some of those Sundays this year where I go in and I can't even sing. You know, it's everything for me to get up on stage and preach a sermon, and I just sit there and listen to the song and try to focus on him and give him what I have, which isn't much, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think pastors like you out there welcome people and their mess.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, absolutely. Like when you're talking to people, it's like you feel like you've got nothing left to give. Mm. So then just come.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like that's all you got to do.
Whatever you have.
Don't give a thing.
Yeah. You don't have to give anything.
Don't give a thing.
Just be there. Be in the presence of the Lord. Yeah. And that's really what those wise men were seeking, right? Mm-hmm. They followed the star to be in the presence of the Messiah, mm-hmm. right? They wanted to be there and to see him and to experience him. You know, when you talk about experiencing things and experiencing community, that's what they wanted, was that relationship with Jesus, which would bring them joy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't have anything or you have tattered clothes, come to church. You know, you have nothing. You have no money in your bank account. Come to church. You feel broken. You know, come to church and just experience the love of Jesus, the grace that he has to offer you every, not even just Sunday morning. You don't even have to come just Sunday morning. Just sit in your bed, right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. say, Lord, I need, you know,
what do
I
you
need
want?
You. Yeah.
Yeah. Please, just go ahead and tell me what you want.
What do you want from me, Lord?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, at least in our age group, you know, there's a lot of talk of deconstruction or mm-hmm. some people like to call it reconstruction and all of this stuff. And, you know, and through the COVID period and like remote church and, you know, that drive for community has kind of been lost a little bit.
Yep.
And I think mm-hmm. it's attributing to a lot of unrest, really. Mm-hmm. Like there's just no... Like, how can you, okay, let's just say you're a part of a church, you've got a huge community, a ton of friends, and all this other stuff. COVID happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you might twinkle a little bit, like, after everybody, you know, it depended on how serious you kind of took things.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And not necessarily, like, you believed it or not.
Right.
That's a whole different discussion. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, like, how restrictive, how cautious are you, how all that stuff. And so there's a different wing there. So a lot of people, you know, when churches open back up, like there was a sprinkle and then, you know, a little bit more. But a lot of people are just still in their house.
There was a great falling away.
Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. Because of COVID, you're working from home.
Mm-hmm.
Because of COVID, you've acclimated yourself to watch church at home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Zoom, that made a huge impact on during COVID.
Yep, meetings and
meetings, all this other stuff. All of that coincides.
Yep,
connecting with multiple family members, all of that stuff. Like all of this stuff transformed our relationships.
Yeah,
whether people know it or not, or they fight against it or not, it's the biggest thing. The community aspect and normalizing like relationships and kids, like kids having that normalized social aspect and stuff. You know, it's a lot harder to convince yourself
mm-hmm.
that you don't have community
mm-hmm.
and you need to go to church. Like, and I say need to go. Here's the deal: go. If you get close to Christ on your couch, great.
Yes,
do it. That sounds awesome. But you know, a lot of people, you know, it's not, you can't argue it's the same.
No,
it
is
definitely not the same unless you've got a big theater screen, you got headphones on with like 10 different drivers in them,
VR church
you
service.
Are in complete darkness and you're just like, yes. And if I was alone, I actually think that could be a really cool like worship experience one day, is kind of in that, like, not augmented reality, but kind of like in like a
submersive reality.
Yeah. Not necessarily even submersive, like an individual pod, you know, that might have some, I'm going worship real pause. Crazy, yeah. Real crazy. Well, I'm applying it to this, but I've thought about this before. I've thought about this for football games. Okay. This is where I really thought okay. about it.
Yeah.
But like you're kind of in this pod seated or whatever, you got these speakers and stuff and all mm-hmm. these LED screens yeah. around you. And you're actually visibly looking at the field. You can turn and look over yeah. here and all this other okay. stuff. I think that could be a thing.
That could be a thing.
So you get a pod, a four pod pack for $50,000. You can go to church and feel like you're there.
All right.
Or I would say it's much better to be in person and to experience the intimacy of community.
Yeah. I was definitely arguing that.
Yes.
For I, sure. Yeah, for yeah. sure. But yeah, I mean, COVID, dude, like.
Well, it yeah. really did.
It really yeah. did. But, you know, flip side, I have gotten to be close to our whiskey friends mm-hmm. so much because of all of the, you know, the technology stuff that we're able to do now and mm-hmm. the bit, like, you know, we can have 100 whiskey people on a single Zoom call. You yep. know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. it's really cool. I think that just on as far as the act of coming mm-hmm. to church, yeah. I think has been drastically hit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It has.
And I can tell you that from experience yeah. yeah, as yeah, a, right. you know, I think about when I got my first full-time ministry position in 2019.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, and it was, I loved it. You know, our Christmas service that year, we had 202 people in our sanctuary. And that's the largest service that church has had in years.
Yeah.
And then COVID hits.
Oh,
and we come back from COVID and literally like
40
people,
yeah,
you know, like a significant yeah. decline,
60-70% loss.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. you know, we slowly started to build back up after that, but we never got back, you know, to that point. And a lot of people, it's like you said, they got used to sitting on their couch. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much more convenient to sit there.
Expectations changed,
and then we feel like we got our weekends
yeah.
back.
Yeah, and
which is, I mean, it's here's the
great.
Deal.
Great,
yeah.
But you know, now they don't have to commit to church, right? It's no longer a commitment. It's just what you do for an hour on your couch Sunday morning, as opposed to going to church and talking to yep. people and serving and actually being involved in the life of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say, and the thing that you miss, that you don't know you miss it until you need it and you're missing it, is that intimacy in a small group, or is that personal connection with people who come alongside of you and support you, because it's not, you know, it's not your pastor's job to, you know, support you in everything that you're doing and necessarily be there for you at all times with your family. That's where you get, you know, those small groups of people, those pockets of your people, right, that you support and love on and are there no matter what happens. Obviously, you know, pastors are important, right, JB? I mean,
yeah, we are important.
Yeah,
you're speaking to royalty right now. I'm important.
But it's not pastors.
Hey, you know, some days.
But it's that community. It's that tight-knit community is really the people who come alongside of you and help you in that walk the other 6 days of the week, right? It's not about Sunday.
Or heck, help you at lunch.
Did you just say yeah. heck?
Uh-huh.
That's a curse.
I don't know. Heck.
Yeah. And so now this holiday season, what I'm going to encourage everybody to do, seek joy in the right place. Look for Jesus in the scriptures. And then worship, when you find him, worship him with your whole heart.
Well said, JB. Good summary. And with that, we'll be right back with our feature pour. And we back.
Some say we never left, Joshua.
That's right. That's what we've been waiting on.
And Rob.
That's right. So we
don't know Jack.
I mean, he's in the room with you. I get it. We we'll are back for the feature pour today. One I'm very excited about. Honestly,
have you tried
wonderful benefits. I have not. So one of the wonderful benefits of doing this show is I've gotten to try some bourbons that I've wanted to get a hold of and haven't been able to. And this is the second 13th Colony that is on that list. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, so this is the 13th Colony Double Oak Cask Strength. Mm-hmm. It is from 13th Colony Distillery out of Georgia. I believe it's in Americus, Georgia, if I am
that sounds right.
Correct.
Yeah, it's correct.
Yep. Will and I have been a fan of these guys for a long time with their kind of just staple rye, the 13th Colony rye. That's a good one. It's just been super tasty, well done. You know, it had some complexity to it, even at a younger age. And well, rye matures a little bit quicker, so that can happen. But their bourbon offerings also good. But man, they haven't really made a splash in the whiskey world until they released this 13th Colony Double Oak Batch 1, and that's the one we have right now. They have since released Batch 2. And that was going for $200 retail. They kind of wised up. I think this one was like 120, 125 maybe. I can't remember. I know it wasn't 200, but, you know, they hit secondary and then it was all over after that. But but now they're on everybody's radar. And so that's why it's so expensive now, but, cause they don't have a lot of
bottle,
it. But this stuff's like, dude, like, we picked a barrel of, I think it was 11-year-old rye, a single barrel from them. I mean, they've got, we're going to see some old stock from them for a little, for a little while, which is going to be great.
And that rye was really good.
The rye was fantastic. So we had, you know, Bob on for Thanksgiving and he told us how he had to drag you kicking and screaming to like, 13th Colony.
And me?
No, he just
it's on the record, buddy. We if only we recorded. I'll go back to that episode 7 years ago.
So the just a little bit more on this one. So the mash bill is 70% corn, 21% rye, 9% malted barley, all locally grown and sourced wherever possible. Yeah, and you said MSRP on this one, Grease, was what, 125?
Don't quote me on that. I know it wasn't 200. Yeah.
You are on the record, and we are quoting every word that you are saying.
It was on around or below $1,000. That's what we can commit to. So I'm going to go in. So we'll go in. We'll kind of talk about the nose, talk about the palate, talk about the finish, and go from there. Grease is he's having an experience.
And it's like he's in the shower.
Yeah.
The first thing that popped in my head with this is toffee coffee,
dude.
It's leather toffee coffee. Obviously, it's got. I mean, like vanilla extract, not just
That's what it almost smells like, a vanilla extract.
Dude, there's so much oak on the. I mean, obviously, it's a double.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me, Rob.
He doesn't say very nice things either, at least in my experience. All right, I got to go in on the nose.
I mean, I say nice things about other people, JB. So
you're just saying that because he gave you 13th Colony Double Oak.
How nice of things I will say to people who give me 13th Colony.
There's a little Dr. Pepper in there too. Like something.
I can see that.
One of those 23 flavors is in that.
Yep.
So yeah, I do get that dark, almost a dark cherry.
There's a great toffee sweetness on, like, it's so like the mouthfeel. It's so viscous.
You kind of have to chew it a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, color. I mean, look at that.
I mean,
ridiculous.
Oh, dude, it's
like motor oil.
I'll hold it up just straight out of the bottle. It's motor oil.
It is.
And double oaked, you know, it's going to do that.
Yep.
But it is almost Dr. Pepper. It looks like Dr. Pepper.
Is there an age statement on that? Out of curiosity.
Man, you know what? I still should know. You know, I do know that it's not all the same. Like
they got a blend in there.
It's a batch produced.
Yeah, it's batched, I would assume that they could throw whatever whiskey they wanted to.
Doesn't taste young is kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no. It does not have those young notes at all. I would say that we're in the realm of 10 years old.
Yeah.
10 years or plus.
Or they did something special with that double oaking part of it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, dude, the regular stuff's good too. It's crazy.
Yeah. So what are we getting on the palates here?
Palate,
get that
coffee,
yeah.
Tobacco.
It's like a
viscous toffee.
It's a cigar bar.
It's like a latte.
Burnt cherries. Dr. Pepper. Yeah.
Dr. Mm-hmm. Pepper. It's a Dr. Pepper.
It really does.
Yeah. It's like So, I mean, it's just like, it's like you're drinking a Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm. A thick Dr. Pepper.
Thick Dr. Pepper.
Like a Dr. Pepper that's had some toffee in it.
While you're smoking a pipe.
Thank you. I'm there.
Now I want to have a pipe.
I know, right?
Eating a Werther's Original.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great evening.
Like the Werther's Original, the caramel flavor, it tastes salted, though. There's a savoriness to that caramel flavor to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, bitterness on the oak will help create that savory or
so what do we say the proof was on this one?
It's pretty big. 135.3. It drinks 120. Let's don't joke ourselves.
No, but it's
this thing numbs your mouth.
It's good.
Yeah.
But it's not 135.
It numbs your mouth in a good way. You know,
yeah, but it's just like that other, the one Bob brought us that was the, you know, the hazmat. It didn't drink that hot, and this is not drinking as hot as it is.
I'd say this is 125, 120 to 125.
It's like gently rocking my tongue to sleep.
Yeah,
it's that warmth and just. I don't know what I just said.
My chest is falling asleep. I can feel it now. It's like, dude, you've shot like four things tonight.
Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't mean to shoot them. I wanted to have them.
Yeah.
I didn't want to leave them behind, man.
All right. The finish is really nice on this. It lingers. It those flavors just continue. It's so good.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a very unique whiskey. It's one of those things that kind of puts you in a little conundrum. Like, is this worth $200 or is it not? But I'll say this much, dude. Like, when I buy whiskey, I look at it as like, I've got 4 ounces of this, probably. Yeah. And then 20 other people get to have it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, it's so worth $200 to me for that. And the only reason it's worth it is because, you know, 20 people got to have it, you know?
Yeah. The experience with the whiskey
is
what makes the price worth it.
Yep.
Well, I think it was worth you paying whatever you paid for it.
Right. No matter what the price was, it was worth it for us.
Chris Propokiak got it for me. He's a buddy of mine. He's great. He's a great guy.
Sounds like a great guy if he got it for you.
No, he's a solid dude. Solid dude.
Well, then let's drink to Chris.
I'll drink to Chris.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, I had some, you know, coming into these two pours again, the one with Bob and this one. I had really high hopes for 13th Colony, and it's they've both delivered. They've both been just fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I would say this is like BTAC-esque as far as like the shock that you get on the front. Whoa, this is good.
Yeah.
But then the tail end, that bitterness doesn't have that Buffalo Trace finesse of like edging off that over oak bitterness. Like, they just age things so well at Buffalo Trace. I mean, it's all a science, right? They're not just throwing whiskey into a barrel and throwing it on a shelf somewhere.
Right.
You know, they kind of know.
They got it figured out.
They've got it figured out. And so, however they're aging it or however they're doing it or whatever they're doing, their older product stuff just never really says this is too oaky. It's always just, it's super in the pocket.
Yeah.
Delicious. So, I mean, Buffalo Trace does a really good job with those things. This 13th Colony has a little edge to that bitterness on the tail end of the finish. So that's the one thing that's like, oh, okay, this isn't, but I was wowed.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's still, and it's not as accessible as a BTA. I mean, it sells out immediately, doesn't it?
Fair.
Well, the double oaked, you know.
The double oaked one.
That's going to sell out immediately now.
Well, and the 13th Colony single barrel rye.
Yeah.
They just make such a Yeah, such a small volume. It's a small distillery doing really good stuff. But yeah, they definitely sell out quick. And then the second release, they released it to a little bit of a broader state footprint, I believe. But
yeah,
it
did a lot online.
Yeah, they shipped to multiple states, I think, on the second release of the Double Oak. A little bit more in production, still not enough to meet demand. So thank you for sharing that with us, brother. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Delicious.
Yeah, for sure.
Fantastic.
And it's been a joy having you on the podcast.
Yeah. Dude, this was great. This was the most chill thing.
I mean, I feel like I'm easy to hang out with. I don't know.
No, this was super delightful. This brings me joy.
There's no expectations here. You just come as you are.
Absolutely. Well, I definitely did. I got sweatpants on.
Oh, he does.
I was like, it's from the waist up tonight. We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
This is the type of dude that doesn't dress up for church, I guess. He comes in the slides and his, white socks and basketball shorts. I'm just kidding. I'm
trying to think. Like, a lot of t-shirts and jacket combos.
Dude, that's more dressed up than I do.
Every now and then I might throw, one of those, thin sweaters on or something like that. I just saunter a little bit.
I'm usually just jeans and a polo when I'm preaching, man. Mm-hmm. So,
well, when I wear a sweater to church, the cop on duty gets nervous. So, what the hell did you do with Grease, man? what do you do?
So do they have a cop on duty just because of you, or
that has not been confirmed either way?
Not confirmed
or denied. Order, yeah.
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 Allegedly.
Yeah. my youngest daughter might be to blame for that one.
Yeah.
We really don't know. We just know the Giesler family is typically, we won't buy them. I'm just kidding.
Dude, I would love a Giesler family at my church. I mean, y'all are.
Oh, we'd roll in.
Dude, you guys are cool.
Dude, and then, dude, if you were doing a tithe message or something like that, I would get up there and be like, let me go ahead and tell y'all something right now. I'd lead that one. That'd be funny.
Well, again, thank you for being on the show. It's been a great joy actually sitting
with you, chatting with you.
And we find joy, as we talked about, in a relationship with Jesus. In my life, what has brought me great joy is accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior and trusting in Him alone as my Savior and seeking Him through Scripture, through prayer, and experiencing joy in Him. Not that my life is always easy. Not that my life is always great, but my life always has the constant presence of Jesus in it. And that's what brings me joy, even in the worst of circumstances. So if you are listening and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just say yes to Him. You are going to find the greatest joy in your life in a relationship with Him, a joy that isn't fleeting, a joy that isn't found in the perishable things of this earth, but joy that is found in the eternal Lord Jesus Christ. So if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, we ask that you reach out to us. You might have questions. You might not know what that means. And we're here to answer those questions for you. We're here to talk with you through that. So Rob, if they want to reach out to us, how can they do that?
Absolutely, JB. So you can reach out to us again at jbbibleandbourbon.com/socials. That's kind of all the ways to contact us. Email super easy, either Rob or JB, depending on how many letters you want to type before the at jbbibleandbourbon.com. We'll let you know who you want to talk to. So jbbibleandbourbon.com/socials is going to have all of our social media links, Instagram, Facebook, TikToks, all of those things. It's also going to have how you can come alongside of us at our Patreon tiers, how you can subscribe to the audio only. If you really want to get into it and see the bearded, wonderful glory that is before you.
We have another beard on the show today, too, Beardos. Man. This is great.
Yeah.
Well, compared to y'all, it's more like a beer.
It's a dusting. Yeah. It's a dusting.
A beer. A bear. No, it's not a bear.
It's kind of like the snow that you guys might get down here as compared to what I get in Ohio.
So it's
like a quarter inch of snow down here in Tennessee. There's a foot of snow in Ohio.
Yeah.
So
beard definitely really aligns with a dusting.
Yeah, it's a dusting.
Dusting of snow.
You want to see that beard of glory. So we are on YouTube and Rumble. Again, if you want to come alongside of us and support us on our various Patreon tiers at our Apostle and Disciple tier, you get monthly time with JB and I. You get end of year swag. At our Apostle tier, you get to come on and host a show with us like Grease has been doing here. So come on in, sit down with us and have a great conversation. Also, if you're a little camera shy, or, you know, like we called out, if you're in witness protection, we're witness protection friendly. So you can nominate a friend of yours to go ahead and be on the show with us. So jbbibleandbourbon.com/social.
Yeah, and again, we are witness protection friendly. Allegedly. Now, we have had the Illuminati following us for a little while now, but we won't get into that.
We are witness protection friendly. Like, that is a line and a half. Yeah, it's almost shirt worthy, but you got to have more context.
So, but again, thank you, Matt, a.k.a. Grease, for being a guest on our show today.
Yeah, man.
If people want to find you, I know you, they're a little bit more popular than we are, but how can they find you on social media, podcast, the whole nine yards?
You can, you know, basically connect to us, however, at thepodcast.com. Mm-hmm. But we're on every platform. You can just search The Podcast, P-O-D-C-A-S-K.
Mm-hmm.
That is
important letter.
Punny.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little punny.
I like puns, man.
Yeah. And you can check us out. We've got 8 years of content if you want to backlog it.
Great content.
So, dude, I had somebody last year reach out to me and be like, man, I just caught up. He was like, I started.
That's this. A roller coaster,
I started this like 2 years. He started like 2 years ago and finally caught up. He was like, I listened to a current episode and then I was like, I got to go back and figure out how we got here.
Yeah.
Dude, so
that journey is amazing too. Like I love a lot of the early.
Oh, dude, I had no idea what bottled and bond was.
You were talking. This is smooth. I like smooth.
Oh, this is smooth.
Yeah, and I think you were actually drinking your whiskey at ice too at the
beginning. Because acid reflux.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look who used to listen to all your episodes.
Well, but then the acid reflux got slapped by a whiskey tolerance, I think. Like, it was just like... Mm-hmm.
Just had to build it up.
It was, it was just like dude, we can't win. Like, let's just stop. but, you know, interesting, when I started intermittent fasting, I was on Nexium and Prilosec for 8 years, 9 years.
Yeah.
Have had three since I started.
Oh, wow.
Intermittent fasting. And that's when I, like, had some major cheat days. Mm-hmm. Right. Like a whole pizza.
So if I don't get cheese, I might go and get a full pizza on my way back.
Yes, it sounds good, doesn't it? Well, guys, thank you so much for having me. This is this is a real treat. I know we've been talking about it for, gosh, probably a year now. But finally the timing was not right.
We finally got it to make it work. And so thank you for having me at the Nook. And so at this time, may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you until next time. And today, we don't know Jack,
but we'll drink it.
That's right. We'll see y'all next time.